What's your favorite one? Like when you see it, you know Christmas is here, and that's what you enjoy throughout the season. That's what you're going to share with each other, and we'll connect back with you in just a little bit. Why don't you stand and greet one another? If you could be finding your seat, I would appreciate it.
There's what?
Some heavy theological stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
talking about...
If you found your seat, that might be a good thing.
The same, but...
You can also move seats, Karen. Okay. Again, if your seat does not have you in it, your seat is getting cold, and your seat needs to warm up on this winter day. Okay, everybody is finding their seat. If you'd look out toward the lake, you'll see snow is beginning to fall. Did that get your attention? Good. Listen up. I'm gonna walk around, and I'm going to hear some things. If I hear one more person say that their favorite part about Christmas is snow, I will immediately judge you on the spot, okay? So, with that said, who'll be the first person to share snow? Okay.
Frozen rain. Snow.
I know, I can't believe it. How many people said snow? Okay, you're all deported, all right? Okay. Let's hear, what was favorite Christmas thing for you? Janie, what was it? It's that baby Jesus, crying, whiny baby Jesus. No, okay, just checking. You got to spend some time with her to hear how overwhelmed she is at Christ. That's genuine. I like that a lot. What is it, Florence?
Being with family.
Being with family. That's special. I like that. Don't go nowhere, Tom. Okay, I told him to stand there, and he stood there. I love this. Fran?
Christmas carols with a Jamaican accent.
Oh, Christmas carols with a Jamaican accent. That was a dig on our friend Glenn, and maybe Rosie, I'm not sure. What else did you say was a favorite thing of yours around the Christmas holidays? Nobody's hit mine. Hold on.
You're going to think I'm weird. It's Dick's Hardware Store. When I was a kid, that's where my dad stashed our presents until Christmas morning.
You don't get the mic again. Okay, good. We have a way of punishing these answers, all right? What was out there? Lights. How many said lights? That's my favorite part. In fact, the worst part is when the lights go off after the new year, kind of. That's where it's kind of a bummy thing. Okay. Kay, you got one for me?
Meeting friends.
Family, friends, big deal. D?
Music.
Okay, your husband. Good answer. I like that a lot. So that's... Did you not hear that? That's what I heard. Nobody else heard that but me. Okay, she said music. Yeah. We were here singing Christmas songs all the way here. And then a Queen song came on the radio. My wife was singing as we walked in the door, but I wasn't going to share that with anybody. And I looked and said, we're going to go worship, and you're singing a Queen song. Welcome to my house. Okay. Okay, anybody else? Jim.
Every Christmas, my mom would make cinnamon rolls in the shape of a Christmas tree.
Oh. What a special mom. That is sweet. I like that. Yeah, that's right. I love that. All right. Listen carefully to something I want to share for the next minute or so, and it really involves Tom, unless he's just standing there like my bodyguard. He's replaced you. That's your job, okay? Listen carefully. Okay. I wore him down. Our community group, which has got an interesting dynamic to it because of the characters that are in there, spiritual but characters. Yes, Anne, I'm talking about you. And so there are just characters in there, and we'll just let it go at that. But along the way, we've run into different things that we need to pray for and be concerned about. And what happens on my phone, much not to my regret, just like amazing. I watch my phone light up as the group texts are going on and going on and going on, and which is really cool about a prayer need and something that's really cooking within the group. Recently, Tom and Kathleen, Tom and Kathleen's, listen carefully, their great-grandson, okay? Great-grandson, little guy, how old, 6, 7 months, something like that? 5 months. He'll be 6, 7 months soon. He got really ill with what you hear about on the news, the RSV and et cetera and et cetera. And I'm going to the doctor, going to the hospital, and then it got more serious than that. And I asked Tom just to stand here and give us 30 seconds to a minute, just an update on how the kid's doing, one, but two, the feel and effect of having a group of people that you really don't know. You don't run to these people in the street, neither would I. But how they come and care like this in prayer and concern for each other. Tom, give us a minute version of this.
Well, the good news is that as of yesterday afternoon, Flynn is now back in a regular, standard, normal old pediatric ward as opposed to being in ICU. Yeah, go ahead and applaud, and then I'll lose my composure. I cannot tell you how absolutely thrilled we have been with the prayer support from Candlewood. It has been just like a rock that we could lean against. And in the moments when things really looked iffy and, boy, that isn't good, and I hope that changes, all those kind of moments, we've had somebody invariably who responded. And the incredible thing beyond that is that God listened, and he's responded. Now, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of today or tomorrow or the day after, but he does, and that's all that really matters. So from, we often say the bottoms of our heart, but let's just say the fullness of our heart, we want to thank you that you would pray for that little guy is just an incredible thing for us. And that the Lord answered is just stunning, just amazing. I know he does that stuff, but somehow it's too easy to think, yeah, but not this time. And he has just done wonderfully.
Tom, thank you. We continue to pray for you guys. If you don't know Tom and Kathleen, you really need to get to know them a little bit. Phenomenal people with a lot of depth and character. And so thank you for sharing that, Tom and Kathleen. Listen, what I'd like you to do now is very simple. I don't want you to stand for this next song, but this next song sets up perfectly what we're going to do after this. So get your song sheet out and make sure you mind the words as you go through. You've heard it before, but mind the words as you go through, which leads us to our next exercise. Let's sing together.
And as we're singing this, some of the choruses may be a little different than you've heard before, or maybe you have heard them, but it really talks about so many things that about Jesus that it ties together his birth and his crucifixion. And I think that's important for us to realize when Jesus came as that baby, he knew why he was here. He knew that he was going to suffer and die on the cross. And this song just captures all of that.
The babe, the son.
Thank you, Beth and team. Appreciate that. Put in the back of your mind that Wednesday before Christmas, the 21st. Don't forget that. Bring somebody with you. Very non-threatening night. We're going to eat desserts that you're bringing to share. On top of that, going to be a lot of kibbutzing and there's going to be carol singing. And we'll see if I can muster up something to say that night for 5 minutes. Okay, good. Just checking. I got to look back at the bosses, okay? So just be thinking about that night. Who can I invite? Who would that be nice to come over, have an evening together of doing that kind of stuff? A real Christmas feel, and that's what we're going for. It ought to be fun. I look forward to seeing you. Now, with you in your seat and with your Bible device in hand, whether it be Bible or whether it be pad or pen or whatever, I need you to look up Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, our one verse that we will cover today at our gathering. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You've heard it before. You've heard it sung. I had the Messiah on this week. They even sung it there too. I've heard it over and over again. And it's good that we do. Now, here's what we're going to do. Here's the exercise that we're going to do right now. You're going to do a very quiet meditation. I'm going to be quiet for the next 3, 4, 5 minutes. You're going to be quiet for the next 3, 4, 5 minutes. And what you're going to do is in your heart of hearts, you're going to read the word of God, Isaiah 9, 6, and you're going to read how full this scripture is. You're not going to talk to anybody. This is all you and the Lord alone. And you're going to concentrate on the names that are given to Jesus Christ in Isaiah 9, 6. And what you're going to do is you're going to see which one of those names really, really, for some reason, attaches to you. The phrase about Christ that means something very significant to you. You're going to look at it in this text, and when you identify the title of Christ, that really you just go today, that one just strikes me today. You're going to meditate on it before the Lord. Meaning you're going to thank the Lord for it. Meaning you're going to mull it over in your mind. Meaning you're going to apply it to situations in your life. Just in a couple of minutes, let that term that you pick out or description of Christ be something that impacts you enough that in your heart of hearts right here, you worship God. And maybe you haven't done that yet for Christmas. You worship the living God for Jesus Christ. That's the exercise now for the next few minutes. So let's do that together. And now that was just about 4 minutes or so of spending some alone time in the text. And for some of you, it may not have seemed long at all. For others, it may have seemed like that was a long time. Why doesn't Mike talk and break up the silence? The bottom line is, it's better in the Word of God to be silent and let the Holy Spirit teach you what you've been reading. You think you know what you're reading until you let the Holy Spirit show you what you've been reading, and then you become the student and you listen to the teacher, the tutor. You get it? And that's what you just did. And hopefully it always leads to a place of worship and praise. This Christmas season should overwhelm you like none before because of the worship and praise to God for what has been done for you that started over 2,000 years ago at the birth of Christ. Not even close. Started before the foundation of time with you in mind. And that's for another time to talk about, Ephesians chapter 1, but it'll get into you and it'll blow you away. All right, I'd like you to pick out a person or two you want to be in a group with. I'm going to let you do that right now. And when you get in that group, you can move chairs, sit close to each other. And when you're in that group, look up here, and I'll give you the instructions for where we're going this morning so we can study this word even more intensely. So go. Has everybody found a group? Everybody found a group? All righty, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Here are the instructions. They're very simple. All right, everybody listening, going to get this? All right. You're going to go back to Isaiah 9:6. You've all just had initial exposure to it, picked out a term about Christ, a description of Christ that you just love. You've actually meditated on it a little bit. You've also hopefully thanked God for that one thing about Jesus Christ, maybe like you've never thought of before. Maybe you've never worshipped him for being the wonderful counselor or Prince of Peace or any of those other descriptions. Listen carefully. In your group, here's where you're going to go. You are going to select in your group one or two of those characteristics of Christ or descriptions of Christ. But here's what you're going to share with each other. You're going to share why this description of Christ is personally important to you. So what that it says what it says? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Whoop-de-doo. Bet you nobody said that in church yet. Okay? Whoop-de-doo. But that's right. But listen, what you're going to do is share in your group why one of those characteristics or descriptions of Christ is important to you. Why is it important to you that he's the wonderful counselor? Why is it important to you that he's the mighty God or everlasting Father or Prince of Peace? What personal thing does it strike or chord does it strike in your heart? And it may take some thinking that you would then share with the group that you're sitting with. Got it? That's where we're going. Then we're going to take it public. Go ahead and study together. Okay, get into the wrap-up phase of your conversation. Wrap-up phase of your conversation. Okay, if we could be coming to an end and be looking in this direction. Okay, if we could be looking in this direction. I realize there's stuff we can share in a group. I realize there's stuff we can share with a best friend in regards to this. And I realize there's probably a whole bunch of files that can't be shared but mean an awful lot to us. And I fit in each of those categories, just like you. I asked Bob if he would read for us Isaiah 9:6, only because when he reads it, it's officially read. That's the way it is here, okay?
For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace.
Now the scripture. He does. He's got a great radio voice. Yeah. I would like now, if you'd like to, from your group, share with us. Again, no pressure to. But, Steve, already, come on up here. Here's the speaker's podium for this group, okay?
Well, it's interesting. There's four here, and all of us had different ones, so. But it's interesting, Jim said they all fit together, personally. One is we think of the counselor he gives us, so he's personal with us in terms of counsel he can give to us. He's mighty God, as Jenny said, that we realize that he gave his son to die for us, and then he rose him from the dead, and that's mighty. And so that's we have our sins forgiven, so that's personal. He's everlasting Father, so if we think for a minute that it's he's going to be gone, he's there always for us. And because of that, we have peace. So they all sort of fit together, Jim said.
Okay, let's close in prayer. We can be dismissed. Thank you very much, Stephen and group. Thank you. That was good. Somebody else want to raise their hand? I'll come find you. I will come find you. Okay, it's all the way out here. Oh, and who's going to share? Adam, come on up here, buddy. Here's the speaker's platform right here for the porch. You know you're a porch pirate now? Do you know that? Okay, no, okay, here you go. Share with us.
So we had a little bit of difference, but like most of us agreed that Wonderful Counselor was a really good one because of all the things that need counseling in your life. But I also saw the part before it discusses the names in the verse. It talks about him taking the government on his shoulders. And the point of government is to protect human rights and like to keep us safe. And it also ties the names together, like he said.
Wow. Okay. I will have nothing left to say when we're done here, which is fine. I like that. Somebody else here. This is good. Looking for a hand. A hand, any hand. A hand. One hand, maybe two. Okay, Jerry.
Oh, we had a variety. I think all of us chose something different. I chose Prince of Peace because of the peace that he's brought into my life. You know, aside from the obvious theological issue of having peace with God, but peace with my situation, whether I like it or not. You know, the old song, It Is Well With My Soul. I just love that old song because it's so true that it can be true for us if we're putting our trust in Christ. And Bob talked about the Wonderful Counselor, how God has helped him through difficult situations and kept him through. And Kathleen, you were focusing on the mighty God and how spectacularly powerful and other he is, and we are so low, and yet he became one of us, is just mind-boggling.
Good. This is excellent stuff. I like it. Where are you pointing? Who are you pointing to? There's a man over here? Oh, yes. No. Thank you. I thought you were looking at me. You want to say something? Yes?
No.
No. This just in. Thanks, Grandma. Thanks, Grandma. Okay. Okay, I'm looking for another hand. That was good. That's good. Oh, I think I can get there, Beth.
These, the first one and the last one were the ones that struck me, given our recent season in dealing with all the breast cancer and decisions we made, and how the Lord was our counselor. He gave us wisdom in making the decisions we made and gave us peace in those decisions. So those two are very, very powerful for me.
Excellent. And we rejoice with those who rejoice. We rejoice with those who are led. It causes us to worship. Her experience causes me to worship. Get it how it works in the body? Okay, you get the idea, right? Okay, let's keep going here. Anybody else want to share? Before I go off, I mean speak for a minute. Okay, apparently you want to hear what I have to say. Let me do this. Can I read the text for you? Or just a little bit of the text? The text goes like this. And then I'm going to show you the problem with the text and what's wrong about the text. Now I got you evangelicals' attention. Okay, Isaiah 9:6 says to us, "For to us a child is born." Stop. That's a problem. That's an absolute problem. And you've got the same problem I do with this verse and why it's really more than a problem. Because many people believe in our culture that Jesus Christ had a born-on date, much like a certain can of beer of X amount of years ago, with a born-on date on it when it was made. And a lot of people would say, when was Jesus made? Well, Jesus was made when, for to us a child is born. You can go to the gospel accounts, and you can see the fact that Jesus Christ was born. I'm sorry for those of you who like this little cuddly baby, but he's on Christmas cards and posters and all kinds of stuff. And there he lays, and hold it. Mary and Joseph, you should be arrested. I never in the world, when my wife had one of our children, would I have run outside with this newly born child and put him in a food trough with wild animals around him. I just wouldn't have done that. I tried to protect him, but no, here's the picture you all honor. He's the cute baby with his arms out, and he's laying in the manger, and there's a cow, and I'm sorry, this gives away all the psychological things you need to know about me, and a llama, and they're both leaning in, and they're breathing on Jesus. You know why? People told me when I was a kid they were doing that to keep him warm, and now as an adult, I realize that's not a good method. There's better ways to do it, Mom. Cuddle your kid. Okay. Now we can close in prayer. I got that out of my system. I feel so much better than that. But listen, I'm having a little fun with this, but for the average person on the street out there, the average neighbor, maybe the average family member that you have, they believe that Jesus has a born-on date. He started, and you know what? I'm not afraid of him a bit because he was a cuddly, warm little baby with a smile on his face. Okay. That picture that I just showed you, which is all around. Let's go to the stores and look. There it is. That picture that I just described to you is not indicative of at all as to who Jesus Christ really is. One segment of his life, he came as a baby. Yeah, and grew. A vital one for you and I. But there is so much more from the scripture. You know what I'm going to do now? I'm just going to go like this with a paintbrush and go like that and not even touch any of this. And it's why we worship him. Listen carefully. We know from the scripture a different story. We understand that Ephesians tells us that he existed before the foundations of time, working on the plan for us. Plan already delivered. We also understand that Jesus was the creator of the universe. You read Elohim in the Hebrew, which is a word for more than two, and God says in several places, let us make, let us create man, let us. Who's he talking to? Jesus Christ was there at creation. We also learn from the scripture that Jesus is the author and finisher of our salvation. You want to meditate on something the rest of the day that'll take you away from NFL football in a couple hours? It's that one truth alone, that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our salvation. It wasn't like things are going along thumpy, thumpy, thump, and then, you know, Adam and Eve sinned. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they had a crisis meeting. The Trinity, the three of them got together in the inner office and said, what are we going to do? What do you think we should do? I don't know. And they came up with a plan. It was plan B. We'll send, and they all pointed to Jesus and said, we're going to send you to get born on the earth. That's our plan B so that we can save some of these men. That's not true at all. They didn't respond that way and send Jesus to the cross. It was the plan all along, all for the glory of God. Remember this. I don't have time to ever develop this really in this little time slot. All for the glory of God. God is about receiving glory, and God is about receiving more glory, and God's about receiving all the glory that exists. Even the picture with us in eternity is what little glory that we had by rewards, crowns, cars, whatever we get up there. You don't need a car. I just threw that in, okay? Okay, good. You liked it. I got a new fan. Here we go, okay? But whatever rewards we got in heaven, we cast them as an act of worship to him because we don't want any glory or spotlight to shine on us. It shines solely on him. And that's what your life is about here. Your life, as we understand these roles that we just read, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and all that that means, which we're going to experience forever and eternity, is what we share with the people right now out there that all they got a picture of is Jesus laying in a hay trough with a cow and a llama breathing on him, and think that's the beauty part about Christmas. Look at him, and he's got his two hands up in the air saying he loves me. Okay, whatever. But the fact of the matter is they need the rest of the picture. They need Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and they need to get that message from me, just like the messages that you just shared with each other. The people who don't know Christ need to hear what you just shared in your group about how each of these attributes, these descriptions of Christ, apply. And so to help us with our accurate picture of Jesus, and maybe in our minds to get him off the Christmas card and out of the manger, he's a cold baby there, we don't want to do that. In order to get him where he should be as the God of the universe, listen very carefully to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and the following verses. This is the part I should have Bob read because it's so good. But if you've got your Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. That's where I'm going to start reading so you can recalibrate the picture of this baby, this Jesus Christ, Lord of the universe. Let me read. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hold on to that verse. In him all things hold together. Meditate on that for a while and see where you end up. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace, see the word? Making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Let's pray, and then we're going to worship together. With your head bowed right now, you want to recalibrate that worship prayer that you had for Jesus? Now that you get him in a better light, in a better scene, do you see it? Do you see what was going on? Do you see who he really is? Not was, who he really is and always will be? right now, just take a moment, quietness of your heart, and just pray. Especially as we go to Fellowship Week coming up, pray that you would be able to accurately reflect not just that baby picture of Jesus, but the full picture of who Jesus is to those who are thinking he's just a cute little baby without realizing he's the Lord of the universe. Would you pray right now? We'll give you about a minute to do that, and then we'll close. Our Father, it's an awesome thing to consider once again what our little brains can understand about who Jesus Christ really is, the author and finisher of our salvation, the one who brings peace, the wonderful counselor, the one who has the government on his shoulders. Father, Jesus is so more than just that baby. And I pray, especially over these next couple of weeks, as we spend time with people who don't know you, that we be able to reflect characteristics and descriptions about you to them so they might have the accurate picture who Jesus is. And then, Father, how we pray even the ultimate, that they would realize that only that Jesus can meet them where they are. Only that Jesus can forgive their sins. Only that Jesus can welcome them into everlasting life because of what he's done on the cross. Father, we thank you for the fruit of this. We thank you for this scripture. We thank you how you've moved us to worship you once again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, you stayed by your group for a reason. While you're standing, in just 2 seconds, you're going to turn toward them, and you're going to have one person in your group pray for the group this week as you go from here to be with people who don't know Christ, that you might bring some of these elements about Christ into that relationship, hopefully leading into Jesus eventually. Pray for each other like that, and when you're done praying, we are dismissed. Thank you.